If you've been around here in the last few weeks, or maybe at some other church, you may have been hearing a lot about forgiveness lately. This isn't some devious plot to hammer home a message about forgiveness so much as it is just walking through Matthew's gospel kind of piece by piece, and forgiveness is a major theme in the gospels, as you can imagine. It's kind of a big deal for followers of Jesus. You might have thought we were done, but then you see the lesson for today and you think, oh, okay, well, I guess we're on forgiveness again. Which is good, because at least here, as I've been talking about forgiveness, I have not told the whole story in recent weeks. And some of you have noticed that and pointed it out to me, which I appreciate. So today, in this gospel lesson, we have the opportunity to talk about forgiveness in a way that I think will be helpful. Which may not be, I don't know if it's actually going to be helpful, we'll see. Maybe. Anyway, today's story picks up directly from last week's, and last week you may, if you were here, you heard it, it ends with Jesus' promise, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." And we talked last week about how forgiveness is the content of Jesus' promise to be with us, to remain with us. When Jesus is with us, then we know that forgiveness is with us. You can listen to that on the internet if you want to from last week. Now, immediately following that, I believe Peter wants to show off a bit. And so he asks the question designed to so that he can offer the right answer immediately and be praised by Jesus for knowing what's up. Peter's had some rocky in-and-out times lately in the gospel. He's been right and he's been very wrong in recent weeks. So, you know, this seems like an easy question, and he answers it. "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" What a generous offer by Peter. Seven times. Have you ever forgiven somebody for the same thing seven times? At some point, after three or four, you walk away. I mean, let's be honest. Right? You're done with this. Now, Peter, seven times. He's so generous. So generous. And he expects Jesus to agree and to praise him because forgiving seven times is so generous. Instead, Jesus kind of breaks down the doors on this thing. "Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. I would describe this as an impossible standard. I think that Peter, in asking this question, is under the mistaken impression that he can control forgiveness, that he can just decide how many times to forgive, because Peter assumes that forgiveness is easy, and forgiveness is something that you can just do. He thinks forgiveness is a simple transaction. But if you've ever lived as long as anybody in the room has lived, you know that forgiveness is not so simple. We all know better than Peter did in this story. We know that forgiveness is hard. We know that forgiveness is complicated. Anything but a simple transaction. This week, I've been reading lots online about forgiveness. It turns out pastors really wrestle with this lesson, more so than in a lot. I mean, you know, Facebook posts and articles here and there and special articles elsewhere. There was really a lot of talk about this. And so I'd like to share some of what I found, some folks that can do a better job than I can of explaining some of the complications of forgiveness. So, for instance, an African-American pastor and an old friend of mine talks about how difficult it is to forgive a nation built on slavery. Oh, is that okay? Let's just dive right into that. He writes, "And so when I hear these words from Matthew's gospel about forgiveness, the call for forgiveness, the call to be generous with that forgiveness, no matter how difficult it may be sometimes, what I know is that the option of not forgiving is not the place where I want to live. I know the weight and the pain of carrying both anger and hatred. It is too heavy. I never want to go back to it." So he struggles with forgiveness. He wrestles with forgiveness, with the forgiveness that left his family and his people in a difficult situation to this very day, with the forgiveness that, he grew up in a small town in Mississippi in the 1950s. I mean, it was not a great place to be an African-American kid in those days. And now he lives in St. Louis. And so the latest one, another police officer was acquitted from killing a black person. And there's unrest in the streets, to say the least, in St. Louis. We can pray for that community today and hopefully do more than just pray in the coming days. So forgiveness is not easy. And this pastor, but he's like he says, he can't bear the weight of the anger and the problems. He knows that he needs to forgive. He needs to let this go. He can't let the crushing weight of hundreds of years of oppression ruin his life. How do you make that work? He doesn't have all the answers. I read, because that wasn't serious enough, I read from a pastor who had been a victim of childhood sexual abuse. We're not going for the light, easy forgiveness. This is not stealing a Snickers bar forgiveness here today. That might be easy. This is not. Anyway, she has a lot to say about the complicated nature of forgiveness, and some of what she writes is this. This was actually an article published a couple of years ago that was reposted this week because it's relevant. She says, "We simply don't know the harm we inadvertently inflict when insisting on human forgiveness. Abuse leaves many layers of damage. Do whatever it takes to heal, layer by layer. If you want to forgive, that's fine. If this is helpful for your journey. If it keeps you from eating yourself up with rage or bottling up all the emotions, do it. But don't ever mistake forgiveness for taking the burden of the crime off the offender and placing it on yourself. And don't ever do it because your abuser or anyone else demands it of you." This woman had the experience of a person would abuse her and then say, "Oh, you need to forgive me because we're Christians and Christians forgive, so you have to forgive me." And being a little girl and somebody with a position of power over her, she forgave. And then she didn't know who to blame for this awful thing that had happened. She couldn't blame her abuser because she had already forgiven him. She couldn't blame everybody else because they didn't even know about it, she thought. So she could only blame herself. She was the only person whose fault it could possibly be because she had to forgive. That is absolutely not how forgiveness is supposed to work. That is not what forgiveness is. We've seen, and this pattern, that's just one horrible example, but that's been going on since the time of Jesus. Abusers, especially from the Christian tradition, have always used forgiveness as a tool to further their abuse. Because people in power demand that the other people forgive them so that those people in power, so that those abusers can avoid responsibility, can avoid accountability for their actions, and can avoid any kind of consequences. This is pervasive in the history of the church. I don't even need to go into the examples any more than that. So forgiveness is not easy and it's not complicated. Another survivor of abuse writes, "Forgiveness isn't for the other person. It's for me. If I don't forgive, then the things done to me are a present reality. I am a victim. The other person controls my life, calls the shots, clips my wings. I will be a sick person. I refuse to be a victim. If I think of myself as a victim, then I will repeatedly get into relationships where I am the victim. The only way to escape being a victim is to forgive. I didn't go to the perpetrators and say, 'I forgive you.' They didn't even think they were doing anything wrong. It doesn't matter. I have chosen to forgive, to let go, to move on, and to be a healthy person who does not get into abusive relationships. Forgiveness sets me free." See, the purpose of forgiveness is healing and wholeness. In the parable Jesus tells today, the king's forgiveness leads only to more abuse, which is too often the case in forgiveness. This forgiveness does not lead to healing and wholeness, but only more suffering. The reason people abuse forgiveness is because forgiveness is so powerful. Forgiveness is one of the most powerful human interactions that can happen, and certainly one of the most important, the most important interaction between God and humans is forgiveness. God's forgiveness of us, God's love for us, God's grace for us, is the very foundation of our relationship with God. That's the whole point of Jesus. That's why Jesus can say things like "forgive 77 times," because God's forgiveness knows no boundaries. No matter how much somebody does not deserve forgiveness, God still offers it. Forgiveness is so powerful, so powerful. And between humans, forgiveness is nearly as powerful. These examples, these long quotations that I read from these people, they don't necessarily agree with each other. They don't paint a simple picture at all of what forgiveness is or what it does. What they do show is that we as people who suffer, and everybody suffers in one way or another, hopefully a few of you have gone through what some of these folks have, but forgiveness is one of the things that we can use to keep ourselves healthy and whole. And sometimes forgiveness looks like different things. Like the one guy said, he says, I forgive because it sets me free. Now, he never told his abusers that he forgave them. He never contacted them. He never had any contact with them again, as far as I could tell, because that wouldn't be a healthy choice for him. But in his heart, he realized that he can't carry the weight of being their victim. He can't let them continue to have that power over him. And so he was able to forgive. This other woman was forced to forgive in person to the person so that that abuser could be absolved of responsibility. And that is obviously a perversion of what forgiveness is. It's not what forgiveness really means. It's not true forgiveness. It's just a form of coercion. The purpose of forgiveness is to break the power of that kind of coercion, to break the brokenness between us, to heal the brokenness between us. And the truth is, only the grace of God is powerful enough to really make forgiveness work. Only the grace of God can really make forgiveness a reality in our lives. It is that forgiveness that we receive from God that gives us even the possibility of forgiving one another, and that gives us the possibility of healing with ourselves, of finding wholeness, even if that doesn't look like traditional forgiveness. I don't have the answer at the end of this sermon. That's not how this is going to work today. We're all going to wrestle with forgiveness. We're going to struggle with forgiveness. There are people... Have you ever forgiven somebody and then you see them again? I'm talking about like a serious, serious thing. And you know, sometimes it's okay. And sometimes you're like, yeah, that forgiveness, that really took. And sometimes it doesn't feel like that at all. Sometimes you know that the only way forgiveness works is if you never have any contact with that person again. Honestly, right? Right? And I'm not here to tell you that one kind of forgiveness is better than the other. Because again, the goal of forgiveness is not forgiveness itself. It's not, the goal of forgiveness is not to make the abuser be freed from their obligation to you. Or the person who wronged you, it doesn't have to be an abuser. You know, the goal of forgiveness is for you to be whole. If something has happened to you, the goal of forgiveness is your wholeness. That's what God desires most. And forgiveness is, I mean, like I said, I've said it, now I'm repeating myself, forgiveness is an incredibly powerful tool for that. But remember, the purpose is wholeness. I will say, just to not go too far in the other direction, just make sort of the obvious point, there's no place for revenge in Christianity. So just because, if you hear me saying that forgiveness might not look exactly like you thought it had, like you're not forced to forgive in that way that you don't want to, that won't be healthy. That doesn't mean you should go back and get revenge. That doesn't mean that you hold the grudge and that I've said it lots of times in sermons, life is not like a movie where like the vigilante gets justice at the end, right? Like that's the plot of most like action movies. Somebody is wronged and they spend the movie getting revenge. Like that is not how life works, and that is absolutely not how following Jesus works either. Don't mishear. That's not how this goes. Vengeance is the Lord's, it says various places throughout our scriptures. And I was going to write that down, but I forgot. So there you go. I don't have the exact quotations on that. But the point is, there's no place for that either. Because there's no healing and wholeness in revenge. It just perpetuates the cycle of violence and brokenness. That's not better. And so here we are, stuck trying to live with each other. And the only way that we're going to make it work, the only way we're going to make it work, inside the church, outside the church, in our families, in our nation, is to throw ourselves completely on God's mercy. To recognize that God's forgiveness is so powerful that we even might be able to forgive one another. That God's love for us is so powerful that nothing that we do and nothing that happens to us, nothing we do and or nothing that happens to us can keep us from God's love in Jesus Christ. None of that stuff can keep us from God's love. And if we recognize that, if we forgive to free ourselves of the burdens of what has happened to us, or if we receive forgiveness from something that we have done so that we don't have to carry our guilt, then we will be able a little bit better to live as God wants us to live, to love one another, to serve one another, to participate in God's work in the world. Forgiveness is not easy. Forgiveness is not simple. But forgiveness is powerful. How can forgiveness bring healing and wholeness in your life and in the lives of those around you? Amen.